We're continuing our series in 1 Peter, and as Mike mentioned last week, we've reached the point in the letter where the Apostle Peter is taking us through a walk through the home of Christian living. And last week, I understand, you found yourselves at the doorstep of that home in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And we saw there, didn't we, that as Christians, we're to abstain from sinful desires. Yes, we know the world has sinful desires, but we as Christians too have sinful desires, and as Christians we have to abstain from those. As Peter says in his letter, as foreigners and exiles, we need to abstain from these sinful desires which wage war against our soul. This is serious stuff. And as you looked at the first room, as it were, we saw that what this means in real life, in our response to the government, to authorities, those in charge of us. And the call was to submit, wasn't it? And this call to submission continues as we move through the next two rooms of the home of Christian living, as we see what this looks like in the workplace and in our marriages. And if standing out by submitting to authorities is hard, well, I think it gets even harder as we get closer to home. And we'll see that in our passage today. I don't know whether you share this, but I have a very worldly desire to fit in. I hate to stick out. I really hate standing out from the crowd, being noticed. And I know it's a very British thing, and I'm sure many of you feel the same. However, as we've reminded ourselves, this is exactly what the Apostle Peter is telling these Christians to do, to stand out. As we saw at the very beginning of the letter, these Christians, well, they're elect, so they're precious to God. But at the same time, they're exiles, outcasts, despised by the world. Yes, it was this submission that was to make them stick out, make them stand out from the crowd as despised exiles. They were to stand out by submitting. And this is quite remarkable, isn't it? Because to the modern world, submitting is something that's really unpopular. We hate submitting, don't we? Submitting to anything is considered at best weird and at worst weak. We're constantly told by the media that we have to be strong to fight back, to take a stand. In today's culture, we have an incredibly high sense of ourselves, don't we, of who we are. Our natural reaction is to fight back, to stand up for ourselves. We think we're special. We tell ourselves that we don't have to put up with this. But of course, the Christian response has to be submission. And that's how we are to stick out. That's how they were to stick out. You've no doubt heard the saying, stick out like a sore thumb. Well, I think it was Jonathan Edwards who said that Christians shouldn't stick out like sore thumbs. Rather, we should stick out like healthy thumbs in a world of sore thumbs. But of course, pressure is on us from the world. We have peer pressure to conform. I heard a story about a 104-year-old woman, and she was asked, what's the best bit about being 104? And she said, there's no peer pressure. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't feel that pressure from around us? And I bet that for most of us, one of the hardest places to stand out is in the workplace. Take a look at verses 18 to 20 with me, and you'll see that the workplace is the next room we enter in the house of Christian living. Now, just a little, the language of servant and master can trip us up here a bit, because the image it conjures up in our minds. However, at this place and time in history, maybe thinking of it a bit more like employer and employee might be helpful in terms of the relationship we're talking about. But what we see here is really challenging, isn't it? Certainly to me and my experience of the workplace. Take a look at verse 18. It tells us to be subject to both just and unjust bosses. And as we look through that verse, we can see we're not just talking here about not getting the promotion we think we deserve. Look at verses 19 and 20. There's reference to the pain of unjust suffering, beatings, suffering for doing good is outrageous. Now, of course, this passage isn't condoning or even accepting of an employer beating an employee. We know that from the rest of the Bible. That's wrong and unacceptable. However, the point Peter is making is how, as Christians, do we respond to those in authority over us in the workplace? If a boss passes us over for promotion, do we make a fuss? Do we scream and shout, withdraw our goodwill? If our boss gives another employee a better bonus than us, do we crank back our effort just a little bit in quiet resentment just to show them? Or do we gently accept it? When we're treated unjustly, do we get on with our work with as much effort or even more effort than we did before? Do we continue to offer to work overtime when they need it? Do we continue to try to be as helpful as ever? Well, Peter here says, yes, we do. Because we're called to submit, to stand out like that healthy thumb. And it won't go unnoticed. But it's a challenge, isn't it? Now, of course, as we see in verse 20, if we steal paper clips or fiddle our expenses and get caught, then we deserve what we get. It's of no credit to us, Peter says. But if we suffer for good and endure, if we gently accept, then this is commendable before God. But before we ask the why and how of this, let's take a visit to our last room, marriage, because we actually find the same message of submission here too. Now, I'm going to take a little bit longer over this passage to try and do it justice. It contains a lot. And as you can imagine, it can be quite a contentious passage. For example, if you or I went down the pub tonight and told everyone that today's passages said that women should submit to their husbands and that women are the weaker partner, well, there'd be uproar, wouldn't there? And I suppose the reaction you'd receive would be to question whether these words are acceptable in the modern world. They might say, if the Bible says this, they might say, isn't the Bible misogynistic? Isn't it out of date? Isn't it even oppressive? Because we have to remember what we've been seeing over the last 2 weeks. We have to remember that we have to stick out like sore thumbs. Well, these words certainly ensure that this is the case. And that's because our culture can't accept the idea that men and women are different. And so to suggest that a wife should be submissive to her husband today is quite extraordinary and it's shocking. But we have to look at the words, and that's exactly what chapter 3 starts with. It says, wives, in the same way, submit yourself to your own husbands. In fact, there are two commands for wives in this passage. First, wives are to submit to their husbands. And secondly, in verses 3 and 4, wives are not to adorn themselves with elaborate hairstyles or gold jewelry, but have an inward beauty through a gentle and quiet spirit. In God's sight, it's beautiful for a woman to submit to her husband. It's beautiful for a wife to be gentle and quiet, to trust her husband and follow. Not in subservience, but in quiet and gentle submission as they make their life decisions together. Men and women are equal, but different. Because our culture is absolutely obsessed with this idea of external beauty, isn't it? You've only got to look at the TV to see the value that it puts on it. But Peter says the real beauty is internal. And that's what's important to God. It's all about internal beauty. A wife who's not up for a fight is beautiful. A wife who rejects this every woman for herself media culture is beautiful. Someone who's prepared to follow the lead and trust God is beautiful. And we're told the reason for this in verse 1, and it's because it will win over an unbelieving husband. Now, just as an aside, Peter isn't commending that Christians marry non-Christians here. The Bible actually says that's a bad idea. It will be cause trouble. However, he does speak into that situation, and here probably because the wife has become a Christian whilst the husband remains a non-believer. And actually, that's not an atypical situation today, is it? Seems to me that there are lots of marriages where the wife is the first partner to follow the Lord. And Peter speaks into that particular struggle. My own wife, Annette, became a Christian long before I did. And I know how hard that was for her. However, for wives in that situation, these words actually say that you won't win your husband by fighting and arguing, but by trusting and following. And it's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? However, again, we need to hold on to these words that we looked at last week in verse 12, don't we? Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. The purity and reverence of their lives will win over their husbands. Not reverence to their husbands, reverence to God. Just as Sarah did when she obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. So here we are. Employees, stick out like a healthy thumb. Wives, stick out like a healthy thumb. What about husbands? Well, Peter's got something to say about husbands too. Because husbands are told to honour their wives. The NIV translation uses the word respect. However, honour is probably a more appropriate translation. And at first sight, it might sound like, well, guys have got off light, haven't they? Just got to respect or honour their wives. But the thing is, honour is a massive thing in Peter's letter, in 1 Peter. The honour that Peter's talking about is the same honour that God gives to Jesus. It's the same honour that God gives to believers. We're commanded to honour the emperor. So to honour someone in this context, it's a big thing. And that's how husbands are to treat their wives, by honouring them as the Lord does, to care for, to provide for, to value, to love. It's a big challenge, guys. It's a big challenge. The reason husbands are to honour their wives, well, there's threefold. Firstly, as we've said before, it's because men and women are different. Verse 7, it says, treat them with respect as the weaker partner. And again, this sounds really shocking in a modern world, doesn't it? But actually, you only have to think a little bit to realise this is obvious. The reason Serena Williams doesn't play a five-set match against Novak Djokovic at Wimbledon simply because he's stronger. It wouldn't be fair. Men and women are different. And the language that Peter uses here about the weaker partner is like weaker vessel, and it's similar to what Paul uses in 2 Corinthians when he says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Is our bodies are weak, perishable vessels. And it's just that the woman's vessel is weaker than a weak man's. Men can exert more power in society, can't they? And they can do that rightly or wrongly. And sadly, the statistics prove that the vast majority of domestic, physical, and sexual abuse is committed by men on women. Men can abuse the power that they have. However, husbands are told here, rather than take advantage of that power, they should use it appropriately, use it in the best interests of their wives, with love and compassion. But secondly, they're told to honour their wives because men and women are actually the same. Now, I know that kind of contradicts what I've just said, but bear with me for a moment. Because verse 7 goes on to say, treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. You see, when it comes to God's promises, men and women are the same. They're both heirs of this gracious life. And the big theme in 1 Peter is to stand firm in your suffering now because you have an imperishable inheritance and glory. And men and women are co-heirs of that imperishable inheritance to come. Just as our bodies are weak and perishable, We are both heirs of an imperishable inheritance to come, we're told. And getting your relationships right with your wife is hugely important, we're told. Because later in verse 7, it warns husbands that if you get this wrong, your prayers will be hindered. Well, at first that kind of might blows your mind, doesn't it, what that actually means. But I think quite simply, it says if you get this wrong, your Christian walk will be messed up. If you get your relationship with your wife wrong, it will be a problem in your Christian life. And this is true of how men and women relate to each other across the board. So employees stick out like a healthy thumb. Wives stick out like a healthy thumb. And husbands stick out like a healthy thumb. However, before I finish, there's a section of our passage I've yet to cover. And it's the first part of chapter 3, verse 1, actually points to it. And it's an often misunderstood verse 1 of chapter 3, isn't it? Because when it says verse 1 says, wives, in the same way, submit yourself to your husbands, you ask, in the same way. Same way as what? Well, often people assume that this means in the same way as slaves submit to masters. We've just been told that slaves submit to masters in the same way wives submit to husbands. And I guess that interpretation is likely to lead to a certain consternation, equating wives with slaves. Well, of course, that's not the case. Not least because not only are wives commanded in the same way, it's said of husbands too in verse 7, in the same way. So this is not equating wives with slaves. Now, in the same way, that phrase actually refers to the previous passage in chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. And it's here where Peter quotes the passage we read earlier from Isaiah. Because Peter says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now that phrase, in the same way, is referring to the example of Jesus. Jesus suffered for us, so we are now called to endure suffering. When he was abused and insulted, he didn't retaliate, he made no threats. So we are called to bear up under unjust suffering. Jesus came as a servant, so therefore we must serve and submit. And as we do, we point to Jesus. And this takes us back to where Mike landed us last week, doesn't it? Living gentle, submissive Christian lives gets noticed. Living gentle, submissive Christian lives points to Jesus. Jesus served, he was humbled, he submitted, and he trusted God. And so must we. There's a famous quote by Francis of Assisi that is often misquoted. The quote is this: go out and preach the gospel, and if you must, use words. Go out and preach the gospel, and if you must, use words. Of course, that's not true. I've got to say that. The gospel is words, and you can only preach the gospel through the living word of God in the Bible. However, I don't want to give St. Francis a hard time, because I kind of know what he means. It's these passages. Lives lived by the example of Christ will get noticed and will inevitably point to him. And onlookers, well, they'll see that Christians make better employees. They'll see that Christian marriages are better, that Christian men treat women with more honour than the world does, that Christian women show more courage and trust than the world does. Christian people living according to the Bible will be accused of much. We must expect to be unpopular. But as we saw in verse 15, by our example, we will silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. And humanly, this is an impossible task. But we have the gospel. We are followers of Jesus. We are exiles. We are foreigners, or sojourners, as some translations say. Just people just passing through. This world is not our home. Following Jesus changes us. And we don't fit anymore. If we go to the world and say these words, we'll probably offend. But if we live these words, we'll stand out. We'll stand out like healthy thumbs in a world of sore thumbs. And we'll point that world to Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word that we've read this morning. And we acknowledge before you that this is a challenge as we are called to live our lives in submission to authorities, to employers, to our partners, to husbands, to honor wives above ourselves, to live our lives following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, to live lives like this is humanly impossible. We are so naturally sinful that we could not possibly react the way that you call us to. But we do thank you that because of your gospel, because of the Holy Spirit in us through Christ, through his example, that we can learn to live Christ-like lives. And through doing so, we'll be noticed. Through being different to everyone around us, we'll make people stand up and notice and consider Jesus. Father, I pray that you would give us strength to live lives like this, as hard as it may seem. Father, help us in our day-to-day lives. And so, Father, bless us this morning, we pray, through Jesus' name. Amen.